Hello again. We want to welcome you to a brand new series. We're so excited about it. We hope that everyone who's been kind of tuning in to these broadcasts understands and is moving forward into becoming the disciple that the Lord Jesus Christ wills for you to be. That's what we want for ourselves. That's certainly what we want for you. And we want to introduce you in this new series called He Touched Me. We want to introduce you to a bunch of stories, a bunch of people who this is kind of their story. This is kind of their, we call it a testimony, the narrative of your life, how you've interacted with Jesus. And because this is our plan for everybody, Jesus has come to seek and save that which is lost. And in the process of seeking and saving lost people, each one of them then has a story to tell about what they were before they met the Lord, how they met the Lord, and then what happens to them as a result of that. And this is what we share with everyone, everywhere, every day as we take on this ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the theme, He Touched Me. Today, we want to share a story with you. It's a powerful story. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke as well, each one of them, because it's such a significant story. It is Jesus' ministry among Gentiles, and it's actually an introduction to not just Jesus, but into a future that becomes pretty significant for somebody. And there are some you know, debate as to whether there's one person who's a part of the story or there's two. But it doesn't matter. If there's two, there's one. And so it doesn't mean that there's any kind of a contradiction in the story. I want to tell you the story. It's from Mark's Gospel. We're going to read from chapter 5. And I want to tell you the story because it's a little bit too long to read every little verse of it. But Jesus had specifically said to the disciples, "We need to go to the other side." And they traveled regularly around the Sea of Galilee. That was much of their ministry, was from Capernaum, but into regions all around the Sea of Galilee. Well, when you get onto the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, you get into the area that's called the Decapolis. You get into a decidedly Gentile region of the land. And this was where they were headed to. So they were headed from the Jewish side to the Gentile side. And through the night, they journey. And when they get there in the morning, the first thing they do after embarking from the boat is they encounter these demon-possessed people, these two men or one, whichever scripture you're reading. But they encounter these crazed individuals who cannot be bound. They are wild men. Literally, in fact, one of the passages from the gospel says they made efforts. The locals made efforts to tame them. Isn't that great? Yeah. What do you tame? You tame wild stuff. And so that's who this guy was. These guys were. And so it's an interesting thing. Jesus, as soon as he encounters this demon-possessed individual, he begins to speak. This is what the record of Scripture, he had been saying to this person, you know, and actually to the demons in this person, "Come out of him, you evil spirits. Come out of him, you evil spirits." And so what the disciples observe, what those who are with Jesus see, is this man come running and throw himself at the feet of Jesus and begin to beg and implore the Lord Jesus, you know, and these are the demons speaking through the man's life, not to send them out to outer darkness, not to condemn them to the abyss and the pit, but to somehow not torment them, not just toy with them, but have mercy on them. It's an interesting thing that a demon is begging for mercy. Nowhere do the demons come in and brag. They don't, and that's typical of demonic behavior. "I can do this, and you know, you can't stop me," and rah, rah, rah. And that's the whole boast of the enemy. But here's the reality: these demons, this legion of demons, are begging, not bragging. They're begging. Why? Because they are in the presence of the one who has all authority, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so here are the disciples standing around watching this interaction. And so the demons in the man beg to be sent out into the swine, not into the abyss, but sent out into the swine that are feeding on a nearby hillside. If you know that area that today goes by the term the Golan Heights, there are tombs in every one of the hillsides. They are ancient burial sites. Well, this is where this man, this demoniac, lived. naked and wild and crazy, howling, running amok, just crazed individual, now laying in front of Jesus, begging, the demons begging to be sent out into the swine. And so he gives them leave. He gives them permission. It's like, okay. That's the language of the scripture. He gives them leave to run into to go into the swine, and then the swine run down the hill they're as crazed as the man was, and they run down the hill and die in the water. They literally run off the cliff and end up on the rocks and in the lake. And the people who are tending these pigs, they run off into town to tell everybody what's happened. Partly because it's like a shepherd in Israel would be, if you're assigned the care of these animals, then you're responsible for the loss of any of them. And so you have to be able to prove something. So they run into town quickly to tell whoever employs them that this crazy thing just happened. You're not going to believe what we just saw. And then the people of the town come out as well to see what's happened. Here's what it says in the scripture. They come out and they see the man or the men who were previously crazed and wild and untamed completely. And fearful, you know, frightening to them. And they see them clothed and in their right mind. They see them change. They see a calm and a peace and a coherence about them. Instead of screams and wild gestures, there's sanity and there's this wonderful sense of self. And when they see this, here's their response. They ask Jesus to leave. Please, whatever this is, we want no part of it. The demons were more sensible than the people of this area, of the Decapolis. They come in and they say, please, just get out. And so Jesus, it's an interesting thing. I've come to seek and save that which is lost. And apparently the Father's will was for him and them to cross the lake to the other side just to reach this one individual, just to touch this one man. And so as they're getting into the boat to leave, the scripture records that the man begs then. Now the man, not the demons, but the man himself, the men are begging, Lord, we just want to go with you. We have nothing here. We have no history here that's worth reciting. We want to come with you. And Jesus says, no. Now, I want you to go back to your family. I want you to go back to your friends. I want you to go back into the land in which you're known. Because you're known as this wild person, but I want you to go back and I want you to tell everybody what amazing things God has done for you. And here's the theological component. It's really powerful. He runs and here's what it says. He tells everyone, not just in his own little town, but he tells everyone in the 10 cities of the Decapolis, everywhere he goes, how great the things were that Jesus did for him. Jesus said, don't tell them about me. He didn't say, go tell them about me. He said, go tell everybody the amazing things that the great God of heaven has done for you. And here's the man's interpretation of that. The great God of heaven is you, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to go tell everybody, everywhere, every day, all the great things that God has done for us. This is the substance of the story that God not only wrote in this man's life, but he's writing in our lives. He wants to write it in your life so that you can share this story. We call it a testimony, but it's a powerful story of your interaction with the Lord. And the beauty of this testimony is that it's personal, it's yours, it's portable. Everywhere you go, your story goes with you, and it is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, as we talk to you about this over the next number of months, we even want you to keep a song in mind, a song that really was born out of a doctor who came to one of the Gaithers and said, I want you to write a song that just simply goes off of this. He touched me. Mm-hmm. He touched me. And maybe you've heard the song, He Touched Me. We're going to keep coming back to that because it is personal, that the Lord will touch you. There's an experience that is yours and yours alone where you interact and have an interaction with the Almighty God, where He does something powerful in your life and creates a new chapter in your life that keeps getting written as you follow Jesus. Now, for this guy that Jesus encountered, for him, it was a very real experience. And in fact, he would talk about the reality of who he was. He would talk this fact that he was a guy that kept others up at night. I like that you brought out the New King James Version uses the word tame. I think there's a part of a person's heart that you may even think, man, I've never been able to tame that. Maybe you keep your family up at night because that part of you was never tamed. Well, when Jesus steps into your world and Jesus comes and brings his experience to you, that gets tamed. Something happens. And where he goes around, he starts talking to people. He doesn't talk to them about theology. He doesn't talk to them about the great, you know, God creating the heaven and earth. No, he just says, this is what God has done for me. When he touches us, there is this personal story that ultimately it's relatable to people. He's able to go to these 10 cities and talk to people about this Jew who they all know is, you know, thinks they're better than the Gentiles. But this Jew comes to the Gentiles, and this Jew steps off this boat and steps onto a land where pigs' feet touch the ground. The most detestable thing to a Jew would be this pig. And yet he comes to me, this guy speaking, he comes to me, a pig herder. I mean, I take care of the things that they think are the absolute worst, but he came into my world. Which means if he would come into my world, and let me take that even a step further for you, is that in his world, he was an outcast of the outcasts. As the Gentiles, they made him sleep where dead people sleep. And so when they talk about the spooky stories, he was part of that spooky story. And Jesus came into his world. So he could relate with anybody. It didn't matter where the person was. If Jesus would come to me, he would come to you. And here's the other thing about it. He didn't go around and go, you know, I need a platform to seek. Everybody he came across, he was in relationship with. And so because it was a personal experience, now he could begin to relate one-on-one. He was able to connect with them in some way that allowed them to get their attention off of the problems and the issues and the things that really are binding them and holding them captive to the one who ultimately frees. But it all starts with understanding that it's first and foremost, it's a personal experience.
It is a personal experience. And that's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. You know, when nobody can argue with your story.
Right.
It's your story. And we're not talking about just your truth, some theology. We live in a world today where, you know, there are so many people that's what they talk about. Well, my truth. You know, if that's what you believe, well, that's your truth. And that's just a way to skirt by the real conviction, real dealing of God in your life. It's not a theology. It's a human experience. This was a lost man. This was somebody whose whole world was influenced for years by this demonic infestation, and who at some level is completely out of control from their own decisions. You know, they're driven by the demons. This wildness was driven by the demons. This darkness was driven by the demonic element inside of the man. And then here he is. He meets someone. Someone touches him who has authority over the demons, and they have to go. Not because the man chooses it, not because it's his truth, because the truth has come to him in Jesus Christ. And the truth and the power and the grace and the might of God touches this man's life, and now he is recovered out of this place. It's a powerful personal experience, but it's also portable. Everywhere you go, your story goes with you. That's the beauty of it. You don't need a special platform. Oh, I need an invitation to do a certain thing. The other thing about the portability of our personal story and our testimony is that everywhere you are, here it is. You know, I just show up. And if you give me a door and an opportunity, I don't need to study. I don't need to research this. I don't need to find a Bible and I'll go to a certain verse. No, unless that's how the Lord did something for you. Maybe it was some personal verse that did that. But if that's really true in your life, you probably don't have to find a Bible to tell that. It's something God did inside of you. And so this portability, we don't need a special platform. We don't need a special amount of study to be able to do this. But what we do clearly need, is a plan. And we want to really encourage you. Your story, as we're saying, and we're going to say it over weeks here, this incredibly personal reality, relationship that you have with the Lord, this portable thing. Everywhere you are, everywhere you go, you have opportunity to draw from this truth because it's a living, moving relationship. And it's incredibly powerful. And we'll get into that. But there it is. It's yours. You should be sharing this. You should be talking about this. And what does that sound like? It's not sermoning. It's just telling your story. And your story should involve these elements. You have a past. There was, this is what I was. This is how I was. This is what I did. And our suggestion, honestly, is not to go into great, huge details because the more you talk about things that you may have done, your life of crime, for example, or your life of addiction or bondage, the enemy can really trip you up where you start to make that stuff sound really glorious when in fact it isn't. There's nothing about this man's life that was glorious. Running like a wild person, naked among the tombs, uncontrollable, feared by everybody, in no way in touch with his own sanity. There's nothing attractive or amazing about that, but that's who he was. And so this is who I was, and then this is how I met Jesus. This is how he touched me. This is what the impact was. These were the moments. And I love this. This guy goes on from this moment and begins to share the gospel, share the love of Christ, share the powerful story of his experience with Jesus with people in city after city after city. So much so that the next time Jesus comes back into the area, there are thousands of people who are coming to hear him. But I think that's powerful because this is his story. This is the power of his story. And he's telling, this is what Jesus has done and what he's still doing in me. This is the continuing relationship that I have with the Lord. And so I think we share, when we share our story with people, we need to share our past briefly. We need to share in some depth this moment of encounter with Christ and this change that it brought, this revelation that it brought to us, this renovation that it brought into our lives. And then the result of that, this ongoing, continuing relationship that I have with the Lord, this is why I love him with all my heart. This is why. And he didn't just touch me once. He touches me. He's with me. He's always with me. This is what the Lord has done and is doing in my life. Because then we can kind of invite others into the story. We can move forward. We can see the reaction in their souls, and we can invite them to come along. I would also urge, before we talk about the power of this whole thing, I would urge that you have a little teaser version of that. I have a friend, and she'll know who she is when she hears this, but she's an interesting gal. She just loves the Lord. She is powerfully committed to Christ. You can see the work of God going on in her heart and her spirit. There's a joy. There's a tremendous generosity that she just lives out of. There's a wisdom that God's given to her. And she works in a professional world. She works in among people in law and in various the professional realm. And there are times when, and these are her words, that she will get a chance to share her story with somebody. Here's what she leads with. I was a drunk, you know, because everything about her now just says, what? You know, you got to tell me more, because that just sets me a little bit on tilt. Well, that's the teaser version. You know, for this guy, you know, I lived naked for 10 years in the tombs. If you lead with that one, I'm going to say, okay, you got to tell me more, because I'm looking at you now, clothed and in your right mind, full of the joy of the Lord. And I'm starting to say, wow, what happened to you? And that's what the teaser version does. It gives you a chance when someone says, what happened? Tell me more. You can tell how he touched you.
And in that, it's power. There's a powerful part that takes place when you begin to tell your story. Here's what didn't happen here. It happens in other places, but not here. Jesus didn't show up and say, I'm the guy. He showed up and he displayed the works of his Father. And there was this a combination that ultimately led to somebody being free. Jesus did what was natural, and he did, and his Father did what was super. And you put them together and you've got the supernatural. Now, you may be listening to us and hearing the story and be going, well, I wasn't a drunk, or I wasn't in the tombs and ran around naked for 10 years and, you know, broke through restraints. And so my story is just not that powerful. You know, no one's story is powerful on their own. Our stories only become powerful when Jesus comes into the mix, when the supernatural power of Jesus comes to set us free. We all have a story. You, again, when you try to compare yourself to other stories, you don't know this guy's name. This guy that Jesus set free in the tombs, because his name's not important. Your name's not important. The name that's important is the name of Jesus. And when you make Jesus important and his name important, then your story comes and it kind of highlights, it sheds the spotlight on Jesus and Jesus alone. And when that happens, then the Holy Spirit, who is already with you, comes and brings the power that allows that your story to actually transform. There's a transformational power that the Holy Spirit uses when someone goes, I want the transformation that happened in you. I want that to happen in me. How does that take place? It begins to draw a person. They begin to see the love of Jesus expressed in your story. They begin to see how Jesus loved you throughout your life, and they want that same kind of love. Because we know nobody comes into the Father unless he draws him. And how does he draw them? Because his loving kindness draws them. And so it's his loving kindness in your story that the Holy Spirit just begins to illuminate for people. And it begins to, you know, it begins to be that salt that goes, I want more of that. And all of a sudden they're going, can you tell me more? I want to experience what you've experienced. And here's the beauty of our testimony. When he's touched us, it literally becomes transferable. It doesn't, my story doesn't become their story exactly, but the elements all around the world are same. I was lost. I was the guy running around trying to find some sense of control. I was the guy that kept other people up at night. I was the guy that hung out with the pigs. I was that guy. You can find it. It looks a lot of different ways, but all over the world, that's exactly the same. And then what starts to separate is the same part of the story where people say, but I met Jesus, where Jesus came and set me free, where he took and tamed the part of my heart that no man could ever tame, where man tried to lock it up, where I tried to lock it up, Jesus took it away. And so I was able to be clothed. I was able to be calm. And I was able to be coherent in my thought. And so those, and you find that all over the world. Why? Because when people encounter Jesus, where their past lives are different, the encounter becomes the same. And they begin to grow like Jesus Christ. And wherever they go, they start telling what Jesus has done. And I believe that maybe you get off this video recording and you listen to the YouTube song, He Touched Me. Here's where I really believe the Lord would have us go today. I believe that where you were talking about those little intros, I really think that starting place is literally being able to say, where are the areas of my life where I know that Jesus has touched me? He saved me. That's a touch. He set me free. That's a touch. He restored my marriage. That's a touch. He took out the anger of my heart. That's a touch. Begin to identify those so that your story can not just be built, but it can be told. It can be told in such a way that you can transfer this experience that you had with the Lord in a powerful way to the people that are in your life, your circle of influence, your next door neighbors, the people that you work with, the people that you meet at Kroger's or Walmart, those kinds of people that you can just give them this little tidbit that would make them want to know more about this experience with Jesus Christ. So Rex, would you kind of close out and then pray over this? As we just believe that as he's touched you, he's also going to touch those.
Yeah, the song is a powerful song. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. This is the reality that we pray for you, and that you can share with everybody everywhere every day. So Father, thank you for the powerful touch of the Lord in our lives. Thank you for the powerful touch of the Lord in the life of this man, and the result in the lives of literally thousands of people that were, he was able to take this powerful, personal, portable story and share this truth, because it's a relationship with the living Christ. This is what we pray for everyone, that you will just sweep in and touch each and every one, that you will write into our lives the continuing story of the grace and the power and the transformational truths of Christ, just changing our lives, putting us into the place where we can take this message of transformation and the possibility of it all and share it with everyone, everywhere, every day. We believe for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for watching. If this was a blessing to you, will you take a moment and will you subscribe to us if it's on Facebook, or share it with someone if on Facebook? Also, down below is a link that you can connect with us. Let us know that you watched this. If you have a prayer request or you want to connect where you can connect with the body, or you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, or you want to say, hey, how can I extend my story? We want to help you with that. So connect with us. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you next time.